right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, once again to another exciting show with me, Dr. Michelle. I'm your friendly psychologist, as I am here every Friday, live at 11 in the morning, wherever you are at in your time zone. Welcome. And we call this On the Couch for a specific reason, because you're on the couch. I want you to relax and just kind of feel good. Pick your feet up if you'd like and lie down on my radio couch. Because we're talking about a lot of issues today. What I'm going to be doing is answering questions from some of the listeners who contacted me. Ooh, I love that song. And you can do so, by the way, right here at LA Talk Radio. Go ahead and, pull up the website, latalkradio.com. And on channel 1 there, you can see my website right here on the station. And if you want to write me, you can contact me by just clicking at my email address, which is docmichelle2els@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. And, of course, you can check me out on my website where I'm talking about a lot of things, especially trying to detox the drama out of your relationships and making positive life changes for yourself, because, you know, nobody's going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. So you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com on my website as well. And go from there. You know, find out more information of what I'm about and ask some questions if you'd like. Go onto my website, contact me, and we'll get together and help you out here. And by the way, you know, I do not have a therapeutic relationship over the radio. It's purely for information and some advice and entertainment, hopefully. You get a kick out of some of these emails I'm going to be reading today. This is Answer Your Questions on my website and email day today. I have a whole slew of questions that people have asked me, which some not specific enough, but I'll just try to give you some of the answers that I can. Also coming up, if we have enough time, I'll give you a stress test to really discover what's causing you stress. A lot of people in my practice who come to see me talk about all the stress in their life, especially lately, you know, all the stuff going down in the world. Very scary. You know, the economy is really a difficult issue. Whether to send more troops out to war, I don't know. Should we do that? I don't know. President Obama's holding off on making a decision. Healthcare reform? I mean, it's scary. All these things going on. The housing market has suffered for years, maybe coming back a little bit. But besides all that, we also have all of our personal and relationship problems, our low self-esteem, you know, our issues that we've always carried with us. So I'm getting a lot of stress from people lately. And that's one of my expertise issues that I work on, is anxiety disorders and stress. So we can talk about that as well. Like I said, I have a little kind of fun personality quiz for you to think about what may be causing stress in your life. And believe it or not, a lot of people can't nail one thing. But sometimes if I give them cues and say, well, what about this? What about this? We find that it's a lot of things. But maybe we can focus on one big issue to just kind of knock it off and then work on some of the other things, because you have to go slowly with this stuff, don't you know? Now, if you want to call me on the air live, I'll be happy to answer a question for you as well about a problem you may be having within yourself, relationships, any kind of psychology question, any kind of question. Cool, go for it. Give me a call. The area code here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815, and we are live here. So give me a call if you'd like to hear something, of advice. I'll be happy to help you out on that. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into some of these questions, because I want to help folks out who ask me some basic relationship questions. Let's see here. There's some self-esteem questions. So here's a good one. Thank you for letting me cough there. All right, Dr. Michelle, I want to know, is there really only one person out there for you? For me? I don't know. How do you know? No, I'm kidding. Is there really only one person out there for each one of us? And that is from Tara. All right, Tara. Now, imagine if in this huge world, this huge sea of love, there's only one right person for you. Not. Billions of people are living in the world, and it's no small feat in trying to find the one person you are meant to be with. It's really difficult. I hear all the time, I'll never find anyone. I'm too this. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a job. I'm too ugly. I have a bad history. I have kids. I have baggage. No. I mean, there's so many people out there. And well, the idea of meeting your soulmate in some impossibly random circumstances may sound impossibly romantic. The reality is that there are tons of really right people out there for you. There really are, who are compatible and complementary and who can be a close mate for you. You know, some people say there's only one soulmate. Okay, I get that. Souls, half and half. But I mean, there's a lot of people out there who could be a really wonderful mate for you. Does that take some weight off your shoulders a little bit? Does that make you feel better, Tara? No, really. I mean, if you look at it, okay, look at all the dating services online. If you feel weird about doing that as well, you know, and you're looking for someone, you can always go to a service where you do, they take DVDs of you. People can go in and see you. You talk about your history and they get an idea of what you look like. So you're not going off random pictures or some old, you know, video off the internet of who you really are and what you really look like and people faking it so they can really see you. So yes, there's lots of people out there, as you will see. I mean, if you go to clubs, you're going to meet a lot of the same people. If you go to the same parties, you're going to see a lot of the same people. You may be bored with it. But there are a lot of people out there. You just have to put yourself in situations to meet people, either in your interest groups or if you're going to school or, you know, attend a lot of functions with your work that might be fun. Ask a lot of your friends to introduce you. Or if you have an interest, join a club. Join a group. You know, I have this lady that's really hot. That I used to see, and she is in her late 30s. She started going to film clubs because she loves movies. She's really pretty, but she was in her late 30s, and she thought, oh, I'm too old. I can't start up a relationship. I've already been married. I have a child. And so she's been complaining a lot, and she started going out to these film clubs and watching movies and then hanging out with a bunch of people, and she met some people who were really nice and eventually started dating a guy. I haven't heard from her because I think she's doing a lot better. So there you go. There are a lot of people out there for you, Tara. There will be someone you can find. You just have to open yourself up to it. I have a girlfriend who actually moved out of Los Angeles here because she was tired of dating LA men. She got a job offer in Louisville, Kentucky. She was a doctor. She had a great, great job offer. And she took it. She didn't know anybody there, but she says, I'm going to find myself a really nice guy because I'm tired of LA guys. She did. She got married within a year. He's a doll. I mean, they're still together. It's been a really long time. So yeah, you just open yourself up to it. You find it. You go out there and you seek it. And there's a lot of great people who would be perfect for you. Just know that, okay? Moving on. Hope that helped you, Tara. By the way, if you want to call in, ask any questions here, we're doing live 323-203-0815. I'll do that again. 323-203-0815. And you know, I'm answering a lot of the questions you ask me on my website and also on my email address. So you can find me at Doc Michelle, D-O-C, Michelle, two L's at AOL.com. Here we go. Dear Doc, do you have to share common interests to be compatible? And I don't know who this is from. Okay. Do you have to share common interests to be compatible? No, you really don't. Okay. So let me give you an example. If you're like a tennis fanatic Okay. And your significant other can't even stand playing ping pong or watching it or whatever. It's not a big deal. And it doesn't necessarily mean it would be perfect if your guy or girl or whoever, whatever gender you are who's writing, was just as much of a tennis fan as you. You know, it's a great bonding opportunity when both of you can share an experience you both really are passionate about together. It's great bonding because, you know, the more you have in common, the better off you are. Because you're feeling good, you're talking a lot. You know, you're doing things together that are, you know, compatible. You're out there in the world. But it's also really healthy for both partners to be able to have separate interests that you both can feel comfortable enough to pursue on your own. And you know, if you try to force your partner into doing something that he or she doesn't want to do, a lot of tension and conflict can occur. I mean, it's called compromise and just allowing and supporting someone in their interests. If they're healthy, of course. You know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, if they're healthy people and they have all these other cool interests, one of the common things that I hear from women is that their guys are just like sports addicts. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You just got to compromise. You know, I was watching Dr. Phil the other day, and briefly, and a woman said her husband, she loves her husband, she's there for him all the time, but all he does 3 months out of the year is football every day. He has, you know, of course, a satellite. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Your man's home. He's a good guy. He's watching. Watch the game with him. Compromise, though. If you want to go out, have him TiVo the game. Let him watch it at 2 in the morning when you're... Whatever. It's compromise. So, let your partner have his or her own interests. Appreciate that they're passionate about other things. You wouldn't want some schlub lying around a house, really bored. You know what I'm saying? You don't want that. It's really nice for you to appreciate a lot of the things that your partner does that are interesting. You know, my husband's in the banking industry. He's one of those, you know, like serious hardcore people. He's got a great sense of humor, and he's also a rock drummer. Go figure! You know what I'm talking about? Kind of crazy. He has a little band he's in. So I say, go for it! You know, the musicians come on over in our little studio area, and they pound it out. They make a lot of noise. The neighbors don't like us, but what I'm saying is that I encourage his interests. Got other stuff, too. But, I mean, you got to encourage your partner to have interests. And so they can do their thing. Because if you keep someone from doing something, they're going to be unhappy and resentful towards you. That's common sense. Do you want someone to keep you from, you know, following your interests? Oh, you can't do that. You'll resent the hell out of them. So, you know, encourage them to do their thing. And it's good for you to have some things that are in common that you both enjoy. All right? All right, let's move on. Dear Dr. Michelle, does a good relationship take a lot of work? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this goes out to Jason. It does take a lot of work, but I don't want you to look at it like work. See, if you start looking at relationships as work, you know, then you're going to be, oh, this is too much work. It's a hassle. It's like, you know, it's like a living and a breathing entity. So if you want it to survive, it only makes sense that you nurture it, right? So no matter how healthy and happy your relationship is, you kind of got to work at it to go the distance. You can't, you know. One of the most common things I hear is couples get together, they're on really good behavior, and the honeymoon, they get married, and everything's great for the first year or so, and then they start to slack. A lot of those really good behaviors they were on, they just feel, well, I got somebody, they love me, I'm married, I'm hooked now, and I can just not really work at it or be interested, and I can just do what I want to do and slob around the house or be gone a lot. You do have to work at it. You know, it's kind of the same concept as achieving success in anything, like moving up in your career or weight loss. You try to achieve success in it. And you know the stuff going on around us in life. So the realities of life will always put challenges, you know, and make every relationship difficult. But as long as both of you guys enter into it knowing that there's work to be done, the relationship is more likely to prosper. If you both are willing to do things and, you know, marital vows forever, for better, for worse, and all that, you got to work together. You've got to learn how to communicate. You've got to keep up caring and being empathetic for the other person. You've got to try to be there, be present, be loving. No, not care give, unless they're really ill. No, I'm not talking about that. Codependent, not you know, unhealthy stuff like that. But, you know, if you both know that there's work to be done, it's the relationship's going to prosper. So for me, a lot of work involves compromising. Like I said, being loving, empathetic. Yeah, losing the ego. You don't have to win this fight. Shut up. Shut up. Lose the ego. Don't listen. What's so important about you proving a point? Someone else wants to talk to you. You listen, you go, I hear what you're saying, but I can agree to disagree, but I love you. You know, so many people have to prove that their point of view is right. And don't bring up old past stuff. Give me a break. You know when you did this to me, you know, 4 years ago when we... Shut up. It's done. We're moving on now. No, we don't do that stuff anymore. Yeah, it takes work. But it's good kind of work. It's like something you want to achieve ongoing health in. So there you go. I appreciate you writing. Number here on LA Talk Radio is 323-203-0815. And I'm your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. You are on the couch with me. And we're going to continue on with answering the emails that some of the folks wrote me on my website and also my email address. Website, drmichelletherapy.com and docmichelle@aol.com. So let's look here. Dear Dr. Michelle, can you only find true happiness when you're in love? Can you only find true happiness when you're in love? It's a really good question because, well, your state of happiness may seem ultimately, you know, amped when you're in a relationship. Being in the relationship is not the final deciding factor on whether you'll be truly happy in life. Okay? So if you can't find happiness on your own, you probably won't really find it in a relationship. And most people have to get this concept. And this is part of the concept that I'm working on in my book, To Detoxing the Drama in Your Life. That nobody's responsible for your happiness. Nobody is responsible but you. Others can only add to it. Or they can take away from it, of course, because of their difficult personalities or hurtful things they do. But truly, nobody is responsible. You've got to go within and you've got to like who you are. At least like who you are. You know, a lot of psychologists say, try to love yourself. Totally. I get that. That's beautiful. It's really hard to do for a lot of people, though. Just at least like yourself. You know? You can't have anybody fill you up. So you cannot only find true happiness when you're in love. No. When you're in love with you, probably. Because when you like who you are, even, okay, then you're really being the best you can for somebody else. You're open. You're honest. You don't have to hide anything. You don't have a lot of low self-esteem, so you're not defensive about a lot of things. So when you like who you are, you're projecting that out. You know, it's kind of a vibe other people pick up. They just sort of see that you like who you are. So that is really the key to it. And yes, indeed, other people can make you happy. Love can make you happier. You know, it's great to have another partner who's just as terrific as you are and appreciates you and loves you and vice versa. And that strengthens the whole, you know, energy and relationship. If you both are healthy and have your stuff together, yes, it makes you happier. Of course. Everybody who's good for us or positive to us in our lives makes us happier. It's proven. Any social situation you're in out there in the world, if you're at your workplace, the more, you know, happier, nicer people out there bring joy to you. You know, with friends, good friends you have, they bring joy to you. Whatever you're into. But you got to like yourself first. Got to try to love yourself. That's the second step. But getting to like is good. And you know, confirming all those good things about you. I'm a big believer in affirmations, writing down things that you know are good about yourself. And copying them down and saying them every day. I am a really caring person about my friends. Whatever it may be, write them down. Repeat them every day. Because we don't do that. We're always outwardly focused, not inwardly focused. We're always out there worrying about what's going on. How we got to get in our cars and go somewhere. How we're going to deal with the problem at work. How we're going to deal with our wives or husbands. Or what are we going to do tonight with our partners? Are we going to be so many things that we're worried about. Take care of what's going on with you. Okay? All right, let's move on. Ooh, I like this one. Dear Dr. Michelle, I am in love with a married woman. She's a very good friend, perhaps my best friend, who I have known for more than 15 years. Yipes. How do I overcome my love for her so we can remain friends? Thanks. Michael. This is pretty sticky. I don't... 15 years is a really long time. Especially to hold on to these unexpressed feelings. I don't know if you've really ever told her. It sounds like you really haven't told this person. Or unreturned feelings. If she's married, you know, I understand how this kind of secret of love can eat away at you. And it can interfere with your life on a lot of levels. But, and what I'm talking about too is how many, I want you to think about this, Michael. How many available single, I assume you're single here. Okay, that's what I'm assuming. I could be wrong. But, because you said you weren't married and, yeah. All right. So how many available single women have you ignored or not noticed because of your feelings for this married person? How many, I mean, what we're thinking about, what we need, we notice out there in the world. But if you've shut off your feelings to only feeling for this married woman, you may have missed a lot of cool ladies out there. And I'm not talking about blatant introductions, that as well, that your friends have made to you with single women that might have been great for you. But I'm just talking about being out there in the world, casual meetings, or you may have avoided certain social things to go to, or you'd be meeting ladies. Friends may try to fix you up, and you'll, nah, I don't want to do that. Because you're hanging on to these unresolved feelings for this person. So this is not healthy. You know, you got to let her go. She's married. You got to let her go. You're hanging on to this yearning. Unless you got to look at yourself and find out why you're hanging on to this. Maybe you're hanging on to this because you're afraid of getting into a real relationship with a real single available person. Think about that. Think about that a minute, okay, Michael? And on the other hand, regardless of how intense your feelings are, she's a married woman. You know, this is where the story should end. You know, just show respect for the marriage. I think it's really wise to stay away from married people who you're attracted to. Okay? So I really think you should stop seeing this woman. And I would get some kind of therapy for your feelings. If you can't put these feelings aside, if you have these yearnings and there's always burning and churning and go see a therapist. I have a lot of clients who have been dumped or pine for someone who's not available. And they've never imagined that they could ever, ever, ever find love again. But they do. You just have to put it out there, Michael. Because what you want, this is reality, what you want is simply not available to you. So you're pining away for this woman who's married. And if she's coming on to you and she's flirting with you, but she's, you know, holding off or, you know, leading you on, that's really, she's not healthy. It's about her ego being filled up. So I would say, move on. Get some help. Go see someone. Talk about your feelings if you can't let this go. Get real. Ask your guy friends. Ask your friends who are women out there. They'll give you a pretty honest perspective. Get out of it. Stop. Move on. Get a life. And like I said, take a look at why you might be avoiding it. Maybe you're afraid of commitment. Maybe it's really easy to be in love with a married woman because you know she's not available. That's always an easy one to figure out. Okay, here's a good one. By the way, we're talking about, you know, questions dealing with relationships today or whatever, any psychological problems or issues may come up for you or anything, actually. That's what I'm doing here on the couch with you. I'm answering your emails today, and I'm taking calls as well. 323-203-0815, and that's the number here if you'd like to call. So let's move on. Dear Dr. Michelle, that's me. Oh, my husband wants to stay friends with his ex-wife. He always wants to go over to her house to visit her and keep an eye on her. Even if it means messing up our plans. Oh, God. Is he still in love with her? He says no, but he says he's all that she has. Okay, what do I do, Chris? All right, Chris. No, I would be really alarmed and concerned about this. This is weird behavior. It would really bother me. Because the amount of time and attention he's giving to his ex-wife makes me wonder about his feelings for her as well. You know, there's no way for me to know if he still loves her. But what I do is I usually figure out someone based on what they do and not what they say. I mean, a lot of people will tell me things that they're doing, right? Taking care of themselves and following through some, you know, thought processes and working through old issues and, you know, whatever they call it, behavior tools and journaling. They don't tell me the truth because they're not progressing. Because if they do the things I ask them to do, usually they get better. So I judge people on what they do, not what they say. So if he's constantly attending to her needs at the expense of your needs and the needs of your relationship, there's a problem there, big time. Now, either he still has big feelings for her or she's a master manipulator. But his behavior is saying that you come second and it will continue as long as you allow it. All right? So you got to have a heart-to-heart talk about this. I don't know if you've been nagging him or if you've been just quietly worrying about it, but if you're heart-to-heart and say, you know, I'm feeling hurt because this is not normal for a marriage. This is not normal for a husband to be seeing his ex-wife constantly or running over when she needs because you're the only one she has. Excuse me, you're my husband, and I want to know really what's going on right now. Why are you having a hard time letting go of her? And start working on this immediately. Get a marriage counselor. And if he refuses to go to counseling, that pretty much tells you what's going on there. Go by yourself. I think it's time for him to start acting like what a good husband should be, which is your husband not attending to his ex who's lonely and has problems. And you know what I was thinking too? I think he has feelings for her. Either that or she is a master manipulator. But if someone else can manipulate your husband into feeling sorry for them so he has to drop everything and run over there, he's got big problems. He's got big caretaker issues, guilt. What did he do? And either way, whether he really still has a thing for her or he is guilty and able to be manipulated, that's not a healthy person generally. So I think you guys need to get some counseling together, if he'll allow that. And if not, please, you get some help. Because, Chris, this is really weird. I mean, I forget about it. You know, the second time he'd run, drop everything and go to see his ex-wife, if he was my husband, I'd be like, okay, I'm going with you. We'll go help her out, see what's going on. That would be the right thing to do. We'll see what's going on. Okay? By the way, this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, and you're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio with me. And we're answering questions today. Alrighty. See, looks like we have a caller on the line. Let's answer a live person on the air. And good morning. You're on the air live with Dr. Michelle. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Michelle.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You've been listening?
I'm calling in regards to... I love the show. It's a great show.
Good.
I'm calling... I'm in a relationship.
Okay.
Where we've been together for about a year.
Okay.
And she... Oh, how can I say this? How do you know when a relationship finally reaches a point where the relationship doesn't go anywhere? It's not going to go anyplace. How do you break it off? What do you do? How do you say that?
Oh boy, how do you determine whether there's like a point of no return? Is that what you're asking me? Basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been in this relationship?
About a year.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And it's kind of tough to answer because it's different for everybody. And have you tried to work problems out that you've been having with this person yet?
Well, you know, the relationship started out really neat.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of good times, mm-hmm. a lot of fun. Sex is great. It was great.
Uh-oh.
But it's almost like we're getting to be too comfortable with each other.
Okay.
Too comfortable, and
okay.
You know, I'm 29, and I still want to have fun, still I want to play, have, you know, go out with girls and
okay.
or ladies.
Okay.
And I just I have a lot of opportunities, and it just seems like there's a point of no return in this relationship.
Okay. So you are kind of looking to go out with other people. So you're kind of focused on other people possibly too. You're kind of open to that right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of open to other people, sure.
Okay. Let me just ask you some questions and just give me a yes or a no. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. Does many situations, like no matter how trivial, seem to evolve into a fight with you guys?
Yes.
Okay. Do you continually refer, or does she talk about, or do you talk about hurtful events or negativities that have happened in the past?
Yes.
All righty. Do you still respect this person? Do you have respect for this person?
I like her.
Okay.
I mean, I thought I loved her, but I'm just getting to a point where it's just not... there's no spark anymore. It's almost like obligation.
Does she have respect for you?
Oh, I think she does.
Okay.
She respects me because I pay for everything.
Oh, geez. Come on now. You got to be kidding me, Jeffrey. That's why she respects you?
Well, I don't know whether that would be under the category of respect, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, she never pays for anything. I pay for everything when we go out.
Yeah. She working?
When we go on trips.
Mm-hmm.
It's always on my dime.
Is she working?
She does work, yes.
Okay.
She's an executive assistant.
Oh, okay. Hey.
She makes a good living.
Well, have you committed or set a date for engagement, or are you just together for about a year, pretty steadily?
No, we're not there yet.
All right.
Yeah, we haven't set a date for anything.
Does she encourage your individual growth? Did she help, hey, you do that, or good for you? Is she behind you on that? Things that you want to do?
Yeah, but she's kind of selfish. She doesn't let me do what I want to do.
Mm.
You know, I'll want to go out and be with my friends, or I'll want to go visit my family, and she'll go, well, okay, I really don't want you to do that because I want you to be home with me.
Ah.
It's like, well, you know,
okay.
Come on, this is what I want to do.
I see.
So
okay.
This is, it's kind of crazy that way.
So you guys can.
And it's a year, you know, we've been together a year.
Right. You think by this time you guys had it's either going to make or break. You know, it sounds to me like all the things I've been asking you, they're pretty much thumbs down, which are kind of, they're deal breakers in a lot of the stuff. So you said you used to have sex, but it's not really as exciting, or it's not really happening, and you kind of slowed down.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe in, I don't believe in playing around behind her back.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to date until I come to a determination on this particular relationship.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out with anybody else. I'm kind of busy. I work very, very, and
okay.
I just, what can I say?
Okay.
I just can't, I just need to know which way to
yeah.
go with her.
Well,
and there's times that I really enjoy her,
mm-hmm.
and then there's times that I don't really enjoy her. So I don't know, it's kind of a, I'm reaching a point where is it going
to
go?
Have you talked to her
where
about
am I,
these things?
Where am I going to go with this?
Have you asked her these questions? Have you told her about your feelings? Like we
I have.
Fight, okay,
I
we
have.
Fight a lot.
And,
you're hurtful.
And she
yeah.
And she tries to, like get off the subject.
Mm.
She really doesn't want to talk
oh,
about it.
Okay.
So you know, this weekend we're seeing each other. We don't live together. She has her own place, but
oh,
she spends
good.
A lot of time over at my place.
Okay. Why don't you ask her if she'd be interested? If you are interested, only if you are in seeing somebody like a relationship specialist.
Why would I do that?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. Are you still interested in hanging out with this person? Are you still? Do you want to hang on? Sounds to me like you're pretty done. You done?
So should I just should I just cut it off?
I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to do. I just ask you questions. Like, you know, do you guys fight a lot? Do you go back to hurtful stuff in the past? Do you guys respect each other? Have your goals and directions changed? Is she encouraging to your growth as a person and your hobbies and the things you like to do? Do you guys share ethical and lifestyle values? Do you guys compromise? How's your sex? How's your lovey-dovey stuff? How's your being close and romantic? I mean, if you have thumbs down to all those, it sounds to me like you're ready to move on. If this is
well,
not the person
it's not
you.
All thumbs down. It's not
okay.
all thumbs down.
All right. Only you can decide for yourself, but these are just some of the things that professionals will ask you that are deal breakers. So if
mm-hmm.
maybe you can compromise. I don't know how she'd feel about it, but if you want to start getting out and seeing other people, maybe you could risk that by telling her that you'd like to see other people, but you'd like to still be with her as a friend or something like that. I mean, that'd probably make her go away, I would assume. But you need to sit down and you need to tell
her. How do you do that? I mean,
I don't know.
How do you tell someone? I think she loves me. She tells me she loves me.
Okay.
And I kind of you know brush it off. I do too, honey. You know, I do too, sweetie.
So you don't love her. You don't love her. All right, Jeffrey, you're hesitating. If you can say, yes, I love her, I'm passionate, I feel good, I'm going to work on this, you're kind of, you got about half your body out the door. You're gone, I think, almost. You told me you wanted to see other women, so I would say start seeing other women, especially if you have tried to talk to her about these things and you said she changes the subjects. She is unavailable or uncomfortable to discuss these things, and she's probably unable to for some reason. And it doesn't mean she's a bad person. She just may not be able to open up and have a healthy relationship. Maybe she's not a real healthy person for you. So if I would suggest to go see a relationship therapist, a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
And get some help maybe with her and see if she's willing to talk to you and open up. But if you are thinking about other women and you hesitate about saying I love her, I don't think you're really into this relationship. I think you want to just take a hike. That's my feeling, but only you can determine this, and I'm not going to be blamed for telling you this. I'm just saying, we do not have a therapeutic relationship, Jeffrey. I'm just giving you some advice and to think about some of these points in your head, okay?
Well, you know, you were talking about ethnicity, my family doesn't like her.
Is she African American, or is she what ethnicity? What is the difference? What are you? What ethnicity?
I'm Caucasian.
Okay.
I'm Caucasian.
All right.
She's Japanese.
You know what? She's Japanese American. I think. You know what? So what if your parents or your family doesn't like her? It's about you and who you like and who you love.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what your family thinks. I mean, certainly that adds a lot of pressure. You're 29? Mm-hmm. You said you're 29?
Yes.
Okay, that adds a lot of pressure for sure if you're planning on long-term relationship. But it doesn't matter if your family's prejudiced and has issues because of ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
that it's none of their business. You're an adult. You can do what you want to do. You just have to make that decision, and you might be using this as an excuse as well to get rid of her. So think of it. Are you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It does create friction with my family sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it can. You know, sometimes families have issues with, you know, they want you to marry a certain religious, type of your same religion or, you know, whatever. But,
right, you know,
really think about all the things that I've, all the suggestions I've given you, okay? Because only you can decide. I can't tell you what to do. But it sounds to me like you're just about out the door on this one. And you're not getting what you need, and you want to move on. You've thought about meeting other ladies, and it sounds like you're kind of coming up with excuses for getting rid of her in your life. If you really want to try to explore it and work on it, if you really care about her to a certain extent, go get some therapy. See if she'll open up to you. You know, maybe she has cultural issues about not being able to open up. Certain cultures don't open up as freely as others. That's known. So maybe she's, you know, not okay with that until maybe she were to go see a specialist with you who could, you know, make her feel comfortable with, you know, opening and sharing personal thoughts with you. Okay?
Mm. Okay.
All right. Did I help
you?
That
sounds good.
All right. You did some help?
You did.
All right.
You did. You did. I think I've got to really search my soul to see really where I want to be with this person.
Yeah, I think you do,
I really
too.
I do, yeah.
Too. I think you really do, too. Search your soul. See if you're making excuses.
It's not fair to her.
No, it's really not.
It's not fair.
No, I mean, if you're not into it anymore and she wants a relationship and wants to find someone, I don't know what her age is, but she wants to move on with her life, give her a break. Move on. You know, let her have a chance to be with somebody who is more compatible with her. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yes, I do.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, but think of some of those things and let me know. Let me know how it turns out, all right? You can email me at docmichelle@AOL.com or just tune in here at LA Talk Radio and contact me through the radio station, okay?
Great. I listen to your show all the time.
Thanks. All right. Jeffrey, thanks for calling in, and you have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's a good one. I like that. That's a good one. I think that's good. You know, I can't tell this person what to do. I really can't. Only he can, you know, figure out what he's doing. Only he, you know, can decide what he wants to do. Okay. So, let's move on. I am answering various emails today from people who you know, have written me on my website. Contacted me at my email address, docmichelle@AOL.com. And this is Michelle, Dr. Michelle, here at LA Talk Radio. If you want to give a call in and ask a question, 323-203-0815. I'm trying to pick out a good one here because we're running out of time. Okay. All right, here we go. I like this one. Dear Dr. Michelle, the man I am dating for 5 months feels disrespected because my male friend, who I've known for more than 20 years, asked me to dinner. I see nothing wrong with dining with my friend since he and I were friends long before my boyfriend came along. Am I wrong for thinking this way, Tammy? No, you're not wrong. I mean, you know, I hear this from time to time that other guys and ladies face on occasion. And I don't know how long you've been dating your boyfriend. Oh, yes, you did. 5 months. Oh, okay. You've been seeing him for 5 months. I think the guy may be a little insecure. I mean, I don't have enough information, but you said you have known this person for more than 20 years. So I assume that the guy you've been dating for 5 months knows about one of your really good friends, this male friend. And if you've been open about it, and said, you know, this guy's totally a friend. There's no friends with benefits, old, you know, feelings or sexual stuff or any of that stuff involved. He's just a friend. He just happens to be the opposite sex. You know, I think it's really healthy and important that we let our partners, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, be with their friends. He may be insecure. He may have a big imagination. Maybe he's been hurt in the past. Maybe he's jealous. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. But what I would do, If you're going to have dinner with your friend, is invite your boyfriend along. I mean, if you have a friend who's a guy, I don't think he would mind if you, you know, if he's just a friend and you invited your boyfriend along. Say, hey, look, come to dinner with us. I want you to meet my friend of 20 years. I don't know why there's this big deal. Open it up to him. Have him meet. Just like, you know, I don't see any problem with that. You know, I don't think it's a real great omen that this guy you've been seeing for 5 months is really upset with you for going out to dinner with a friend. I don't see anything wrong with having dinner with a friend. But and even if this friend were to make a move on you, okay, I don't think it really matters, because I think what we're coming down here is trust. He's got to trust you. Okay? So that's the point of view. I would ease his mind. I'd say, come to dinner with us, with me and my friend. I want you to meet my good old pal, Bob. He's a guy, but he's just my friend. You know, we went to school together. We went to middle school together. And we've been friends ever since. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why he's so worried about this, but ask him and find out. And if he's really a jealous type, get rid of him. No, really. Jealous. Somebody who's really jealous has a serious problem. And that's it. All right. Thank you for emailing me. Hopefully you got some answers to your questions. I got a whole slew more. I'll slip them on over to next week's show. All right. And I hope that I helped you out. If you'd like to ask a question, you can do so here at latalkradio.com. Log on to my email address or my website. Directly from the radio station link here, or find me at docmichelle@aol.com. I promised you a little quick personality quiz before we went off the air today, so let's do it. This has to do with the stress test. This is a personality quiz from personalityquiz.net. It's a fun test site, but some of these tests are actually administered by governments and by major corporations to find out about people's personalities. So this is what I call a stress test. And this is discovering what is causing you stress. Quick and dirty. Okay, this is not actually about, this is actually about the cause of recent stress. Okay? So some people come to me and they say, I don't know, it's stressing me out. Well, we all have stuff going on in our lives constantly. So what I want you to do is think about pictures that I'm going to give you four scenarios. And I want you to choose three out of the four that you can picture comfortably. Three out of the four. Three out of the four. Don't think of all four. I want you to say three. Pick three pictures out of four, all right, that you would like to envision. Number one, a house with a garden. Number two, a group of people taking photos. Number three, a statue of the goddess Venus. Or number four, a galloping horse. Got it? House with a garden, group of people taking photos, statue of the goddess Venus, or a galloping horse. What three pictures would you picture in your mind? The test is actually about the cause of recent stress. And the vital scenario is the picture you left out. What picture did you leave out? If you left out the one with the house with a garden, this means you're probably tired. You're stressed out with some matters concerning your family or household lately. Family, household. Anything around the household environment. If you left out the picture of the group of people taking pictures, it means that you're having issues and very tired of your relationships. They're pulling at you stressfully right now. If it means that you left out the statue of Venus, if you couldn't quite get that and you wanted to just throw that aside, it means you may be stressed out over matters of the heart. Not exactly like relationship problems, but more to do with being tired of trying to settle things, like Jeffrey, who called earlier, with your girlfriend, boyfriend, friends. Okay? And if you left out the galloping horse in your scenario, it means that you're probably stressed out over a lot of work-related issues. And if you don't work, issues with what are you going to do to work? There you go, the quick and dirty stress test, discovering what is causing your stress. I like that one. This is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. I've had fun today, and I thank you so much for calling me. We're just about out of time, so we got to go. But listen, you can find me live here every Friday at 11 in the morning, latalkradio.com. And if you want to contact me, ask me any questions like the ones I answered today on the show live, you can find me right here on latalkradio.com, which will link you to my email address and my website. And like I always say, I want you to have a great week ahead of me and ahead of you. And do take care of yourself first, because nobody's going to do it for you. All right? Have a good one. Bye-bye.
On the couch.
On the couch.
With Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.